Are we ready? Hold someone beside you. Say, Father, this morning we receive your word with a noble heart. Your word blesses us and makes us better than we came in here today. The joy that comes with knowing you becomes ours. Amen. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send your rod out of the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Verse 3 says, and your people shall be willing in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou art the dew of your youth. He says, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. So we said, God's power is manifested in man's willingness. Man's willingness has got something to do with what God can do. You know, sometimes we ask questions, why is God not doing this for me? Or why did God not do this for me? And we say, we're waiting on God. Meanwhile, God is also expecting a certain level, in fact, that's the origin of faith, man's willingness. So I said, man's willingness is vital. Have you ever tried to help someone who doesn't want to be helped before? Like, you try to help someone who doesn't want to be helped. How frustrating is that? How many of you have done that before? You've tried to help someone who... What goes on in your mind? I gave an example of someone's car is broken or breaks down and say, I don't know if they still push car. I don't know. Because I heard there are some cars you can't push, just leave it on the road and all of that. They have to tow it. And you say, the person says, come help me push this car. And it's up the hill. And then he goes sit down, cross his leg and starts sipping Fanta. And there are like five of you who wants to assist. What are you going to say to the person? You can't be taking Fanta while we are trying to push your car. It means you don't want to be helped. Well, I want to be helped. It says, your people will be willing the day you show your power. So, man's willingness is vital. And we need to work on our hearts. By working on our hearts, I mean, we work on the things we feed our hearts. Because our hearts is what makes us willing or unwilling. When people say, I'm not willing to do that, oftentimes I know what I interpret it is, I'm not interested in the person. Because I remember there was a time in secondary school like that, and take this with a pinch of salt. And there was this lady that came to me and said, I should help her with, now I hated technical drawing a lot. And maybe that's why I was not in engineering or anything. You know technical drawing, right? Where you have that big white paper and then you have to, that corner. How many of you did technical drawing? Let's start with that. Okay, a few. What kind of school did you go to? Boy, why are you smiling? Did you do it? Did you pass? Yeah, I pick on anyway. So, and a lady came to me and said, I'm not getting this stuff. You know, you use your compass to do, I'm not getting the angle. It's not fun enough. Then sometimes I just draw stuff and then cross it. It intersects. Why would it intersect? Am I not sure I'll draw it? We are looking for the perfect angle. I make it perfect. Fail me if you want. But it looks like what everybody's drawing. And she said, I'm not getting it. And I was very good with that one. And I said, so why should I do it for you? Why? And she was begging me. She bought me, it isn't easy. That's potato. Potato, spicy potato. We call it isn't easy because every time you eat it, so it's not easy. If you go to OAU, there's risky burger. You know risky burger, yeah? You don't eat risky. You didn't went to a, you didn't go to a, you didn't attend the school. So in my secondary school, it was easy. Amen. And she said, I should help her. I said, no. I wasn't willing to. And there came this lady that I liked. Amen. Take it with a pinch of salt. Because they like it, probably not past 2 days. And I just felt, And I helped her. I helped her. And my friend started calling me, said, you that used to preach. So you are picking people that you can help now. And it got to me. I was trying to defend my righteousness. I said, no. It's because she has helped me before. She never helped me. She has never spoken to me before. Her name was Pamela. She had never spoken to me before. And that was the last time. Because when I now heard her talk, I said, hey, what's this? Hey, amen. And I was unwilling after that. Hallelujah. But I'd already done the assignment. So when people, sometimes you ask, the reason, you check your heart. The reason why you don't want to do it is not because you don't like it. It's because you don't like Jesus, really. It's because that love for God is really not there. Maybe it's only there when you're comfortable. It's about the person. You feed your heart. The tree lays where it falls. The tree is not going to roll over. Where the tree falls is where it lays. It means if I walk on my heart, it will be noble and good enough for God to walk on, for God to walk with. And don't forget, the willing heart sees God's power. I will see God's power. In my health, in my family, in my ministry, all around me, I will see God's hand. You know, there are people who see another hand. And then sometimes they say, the hand that is walking behind this is bad. But in my life, it's God's hand. Amen. So we need to work on our hearts. We need to work on our hearts. Too important, too vital. There's something they do in agriculture. I don't know what they call it. It's this shifting cultivation. Where you can plant the rice on this soil. And then after the harvest, you plant something else. And then the third year, you leave it fallow. You don't plant anything. What do they call it? Crop rotation. Thank you. Hope you are right. People are listening around the world. I don't want to appear. Don't cut this. I don't want to appear like dumb folks. It is Broadway and the cameraman that said crop rotation. All right, good. Crop rotation. So you can plant the rice, and maybe the soil does not have the ability to plant the rice to help rice grow again the next tenor. So what you do is that you plant something that does not need as much nutrients, as much work as rice, and then you plant that, and then the third year you probably leave it to rest. Is it making sense? What are they doing? They are working on the soil because the growth is not just about the seed. A good seed does not make a good harvest alone. The fact that God's word is coming to you, that God is saying things, prophecy has gone ahead of you, does not make everything all good. You will need a good soil. And that soil is your heart. Jesus explained that in Luke 8. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. What a secret. That is, that my willingness can make God show his power. Can make God display his power in my life. So the question I need to ask myself is, am I even willing? Oh yeah. We sing it every time. I want to preach Jesus all around the world. Am I actually willing to? Or your idea of life is travel around the world. Balling. No balling. That's your idea of living. That's your idea of, you know, I buy a house or houses. I've got a lot of cars. And you marry a very beautiful wife like mine. Amen. Or a very good husband. No, they don't say awesome husband. He said there's no poor billionaire. There's no ugly billionaire rather. Amen. You don't know. You don't know there's no ugly billionaire. Have you ever wondered if Dangote is fine or not? You don't care. It's just Dangote. Amen. And that's your idea of life. How you want to be on Forbes list. You that you're on noisemaker list. It's fine. You want to be on Forbes list. You want to have a house by the ocean. I wish you well. Amen. Visit Bahamas and Paris and Seychelles. Where else? Ibiza. And you're posting all over Facebook. By the way, it's been a while I've been there. And you're all over Facebook. And you're saying, and you know, you don't talk much. You just say, sunset. Let them figure it out. Sun, at least everybody that has eyes know that this sun is not setting in Nigeria. And that's your idea of living. Which is nice. It's all good. If you don't like good things, I wonder what's wrong with your head. You should want nice things, the beautiful things of life. But God only honors those who honor Him. And if it's God who is going to do that for you, the question is, what are you willing to do for Him? He told Samuel to tell Eli, I honor those who honor me. Those who despise me. And those who are unwilling to walk out my will. I'm also unwilling to help. God is too transparent for you to say you don't know what He wants. He says it plainly. I honor those who honor me. 1 Samuel 2:30. So look, I said you should open to Luke 8, right? So we said, the soil also determines the harvest. You can go engineer a seed. You know they engineer seeds, right? I don't know if you know they do that. Where they can give it the best survival. I mean, anyone here who studied agriculture? Anything related to agriculture? Anyone? Nobody studied pasture management, crop management. No one? Can I talk now? Okay. I said someone gave me an opportunity to study crop management. And I laughed that day. So, I'm just kidding. I think that people study marine and whatever there. Yeah. Mami water kind of things. God bless their souls. Because they are more than one. He used to be only very wise. I found out a certain brother from the church in Jerusalem. Amen. So, no matter how beautiful the seed is, make it in the lab. That this seed has a very high survival rate. It's going to bring a lot of harvest. If the soil is not good, you get nothing. So it's not just about what God can do. It's about my heart to be the right environment for God to do what He can do. Are you with me this morning? Luke chapter 8. Oh, very long chapter too. In the Bible, very long chapter. In verse 5, a sower went to sow the seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, was trodden upon, the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6, some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground, sprang up and bore fruit. 100-fold. Is that you? And then he said these things. He that has ear, let him hear. Now he wasn't talking to deaf people, but Jesus is saying, you can have 2 years and you are not listening. Some years ago, I was reviewing my life and I said, how many sermons have I listened to? Now, as a church boy, I grew up a church boy. I'm still a church boy. Amen? I'll forever be a church boy. You know, I was literally born in church. Not in the hospital. I was literally born in a prayer meeting. So the first thing I heard was tongues. Amen? Amen? That's not some of you. The first thing you heard was one nurse voice. I was like 5 boyfriends. And I was saying, how many sermons have I heard? I could not place a number on it because of different kind of meetings. Deeper Life O, CSEO, even Kerubu sermon. I've heard everything. I said, how many of these sermons have impacted my life? Because God's word comes with a blessing. If I've heard this much, where is the blessing? Where is the blessedness that comes with the word? And I think you should ask yourself. It says some 100-fold. He that has ears, let him hear. So his disciples, verse 9, look at your Bibles. They asked him, what might this parable be? So he said unto them, unto you is given. And I think we should be like Jesus. Amen? You don't tell everybody everything. Don't tell that people just everything you say to everybody. Jesus said a parable and he didn't tell everybody the meaning. It was just his disciples. Make of that what you will. So he begins to explain the seed. He said, the one by the wayside is the one that the devil comes to steal. It takes away the word out of your heart. That means the word landed on your heart, but it took it away. Verse 13. They're on the rock. They heard it. They received the word of God with joy, but it has no roots. Because in the time of temptation, it fell away. Verse 14. The one among thorns are the ones that was choked by the cares and the riches of this life, the bizarres of this world. He choked it. He choked the word out. But look at the verse 15, the good ground, which is you. But that on the good ground are they with a noble and a good heart. That means He said, when they received God's word, they kept it. So, the keeping of God's word, is it God's responsibility or my responsibility? Mine, right? So, I must be willing to be a good heart. He says, they that brought forth in ordered folds are the ones with a noble heart. So that means in walking with God, my heart plays a very important role. It's not just me singing. It's my heart. Is he singing? Are you with me? We can't just, you know, you are the one who's given me a song to sing, to show forth your praise. And when we're younger because I'm very young, I'm 16. When we're younger, we are more about the parts, the music. Oh my God. I used to love choir rehearsal more than the service. Because in choir rehearsal, we get to do a lot. You are the one. And we do a lot of syncopations and all of that. Very nice. I wonder how many of that really blessed us. Amen. How many of that really blessed us? Because a lot of people are not blessed. I can see now. Hallelujah. To show forth your praise. You gave me a voice. That's why some people are singing to God and they are going, hallelujah. I like that sketch that I sister well. Hallelujah. Hey, wushu. Ah! Shugenge. Hallelujah. Where's pastor? Where's the pastor this morning? Hallelujah. I see Broadway head. See, I see big. Hallelujah. This prophet, he did better yesterday. I will not say anything. And that's what's going on in your heart. And you're singing to God. I mean, if there was a physical representation of God, I'm not talking about a golden image, and if God decides to show himself, your lips will not even be able to sing that hallelujah enough. But here you are, thinking you're worshiping, but all you're just doing is singing. The heart plays a role. And that role is not small. God wants people with a willing, is looking for them. Look at Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Are you with me? Exodus chapter 35. Oh my God. Verse 21. As long as verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Actually, everyone, you see that it was a willing heart. Whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit was made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And for all his service. And for the holy garments. Now, listen up. He says, they came and they brought the Lord's offering. Everyone whose heart was what? Whose heart was what? Stirred up and it was what? Willing. That's the cocoa. Willing. I told you something last week. I said, willingness makes the offering what? Acceptable. Thank you. God doesn't accept offerings that are not from a willing heart. Now, the background of this is that these guys are the children of Israel. They were in slavery for 400 years. You know what slavery means? They were working and they didn't have possessions. Imagine working without salary. Some of you not show up at work, I know. Amen. Working without salary. I mean, I think the beauty of work is that you know that at the end of the month, you're already preparing your accounts for it. You already have a piece of paper or your notepad on your phone. Say, 60K for Owambe. And 70K for whatever. If you are a man, family man, you have already divided everything. And by the time you are done, how much is meaning? Then your boss comes at the end of the month and say, I love our willingness to work. In fact, you are the best crop of people on the earth. Thank you for not collecting a dime. Thank you for doing this pro bono. You say, what did you say again? It's like you don't want to reign with Jesus. Sorry, I saw that somewhere. Someone cursed someone and said, when he badges with Joba, what kind of curse is that? People get innovative with these courses, man. Say, ni ken yoni, ba jesu joba. What kind of course is that? If you don't know the meaning, don't bother finding out. Hallelujah. You see that Twitter is another place. A willing heart. So these guys, this was the first time Living in Egypt was the first time any Israelite will have a possession. 400 years, nothing. And how did they get the possession? The gold of the children of Egypt, the women of Egypt, right? Their gold, their silver, their valuables, their jewelries. They collected it. And then God said, bring it for me. And they left it. Some who never had possessions. Suddenly surrenders everything they had. Those are the kind of people God is willing to work with. People like Esther. Said, if it's for God, if I die, I die. People like Ruth. Abakoku. Your God will be my God. Your people, my people. Regardless. I want God to work with me. So we mustn't do things out of compulsion. It must be normal for us to serve the Lord with a willing heart. Because let me say this. If we as a people are not willing, what God can do among us is limited. We literally tie the hands of God with unwillingness. Every time Jesus wants to heal the sick, oftentimes or not, he asks them, are you willing to be made whole? Do you want to be fine? You'd be surprised at people that don't want to be fine. I've shared the story with you before. And Bro Egan wanted to pray for a woman. And the woman was wheelchair bound. Imagine Bro Egan, you know, ministering to the sick, and the woman did not get healed. First day, he said, come back again. Baba went to recharge. If you're a pastor, you know what I mean. Nothing. Do you want to be fine? So when the husband left, the woman said, actually, I love this sickness. Sincerely. It's cute. He said, because this is the first time my husband has my time. Every time it's work, it's traveling all around. But now that I'm unwell, and I said, I don't want any caregiver. He's the one pushing me around. And I don't want that to stop. So Bregan said, you can't stop a demon. You can't cast out a demon the person wants. May you not love demons. Amen. I said, God's power shows up in the environment of willingness. Where there's a willingness. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me this morning? So are you that good son? 1 Samuel 15. You know, I want to talk about Saul. God knows how many sermons I've preached with Saul's life. And there's a reason why. There's a reason for that. I believed Saul had an advantage no man ever had. Let me put it this way. God chose Saul, not the people. Was not a vote. Was not APC versus PDP. God chose Saul. Very good looking guy. Charming. That was the way Samuel described him. He's a man that when you see him, you want to love him. And he was described as the people loved him. God loved him. Samuel loved him. The people loved him. What else do you, what else makes a leader? Tell me what else makes a man. The people love him. God loves him. The prophet loves him. He had everything. What an advantage. The first king of Israel. Because they never had a king. Then they went to God and said, you know what, we want to have a king like every other country, every other nation, we want to have a king. And God said, I am your king. Yes, we agree. Yeah, you are a king. But give us one physical one that we can see. We want a throne. We want someone that will lead us in battle. God said, have you ever lost a battle? Hey, we've not lost, but we want someone that will now lead us in that battle. Be careful for what you want. There's that, what's that touch? The Midas touch. There's a saying that says, if you get what you want, will you want what you get? That thing you want every time. When you get it, will you want it? It's easy. You demanded a king. But you ended up with Saul. God is my king. So 1 Samuel 15 verse 1. So God gave them Saul. And in all fairness, Saul was doing well. He led them to battle. The enemies of Israel. I'm seeing the documentary now. At the House of David. It's a nice one. You should go watch it. It's on Prime. If you have your time. Amen. I said I'm watching and I've not seen it in the last 2 weeks. But it's fine. At least one episode per month is fine. Amen. It's a very great one. The life of Saul was literally there. So I like Saul. Anything Saul, count me in. He had an advantage no man ever had. Not even David. Because God never considered David till Saul messed up. as vital as much as God loved David. Man after my own heart and all. God would have told Israel, wait till David matures. Or better still, we had a king that was 9. So, he was never the age of David. It was never about the age. But God said, I have a choice. I have someone that I have in mind. Saul, the son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin. They say, Benjamin is small. God said, Saul is a leader. God chose Saul. 1 Samuel 15 verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken to the words of the Lord. So God told him to destroy all the Amalekites. Verse 3. Utterly destroy everything. Everything living, moving, breathing. Nothing must remain. And so Saul went to battle. Men and brethren. When they say destroy everything, it means everything, right? Saul came back with sheep. Came back with oxen. Came back with the king himself. The king of that place. Said, we are going to humiliate you. And Samuel heard that Saul is back. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he is turned back from following me. He has performed my commandment. He has not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night. Samuel cried all night. And when Samuel rose up early, all this kind of meeting is first thing in the morning. First in the morning, he said, Saul, yeah. Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up himself up a place, and he's gone about, passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13, please look at the Bibles. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what does the bleating of the sheep that I can hear? What does it mean? And the lowing of the oxen, I can hear it. Where is it coming from? And Saul said, oh, sorry about that. I brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the Oniro. He started projecting it on the people. He said, the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. I said, yeah, you don't have to shout utterly destroyed. You didn't destroy anything. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you to be king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And you did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. I want you to note Saul's response. What should he say? What should he have said? Eh? He should go on his force and say, I am sorry, Lord. Eh? Oh Lord, my God, arise. Something like that. Yeah? Forgive me, Lord. And you should be crying. Observe what Saul is about to say. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way that God has sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekites, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things. The chief of the things means the best of the things, right? Which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. That is, obedience is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams you brought. For rebellion is like witchcraft. Those who rebel, watch. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and he has also rejected you from being king. Observe Saul's words now. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed against the commandment of the Lord, because I fear the people who am obeying the voice of the Lord. Verse 25. Now, therefore, I pray you, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Verse 27. And Samuel turned about to go his way, and he laid upon the skirt of his mantle, and he rent. And Samuel said unto him, as you have turned this, the kingdom of Israel is turned from this day from you, and he has given it to your neighbor that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he's not a man that should repent. Then he said, Saul, he said, I have sinned, but honor me before the elders, before Israel. Don't let them know that something has happened. That is, I understand what you have said to me, but can we pretend like, I know the kingdom is gone, but can we, in front of the elders, can you just put up a front? This is not an anointing problem. This is a heart problem. Saul did not have an issue with anointing. He was anointed. God did not have an issue showing his power through Saul. But there is a heart problem here. There is a man who does not know how to obey God. Many don't get to walk in much of God's blessings, in much of God's power in their lives. Not because they're not anointed. I had the privilege of teaching in a pastoral school some months ago. And in a particular session, God opened my eyes to see. I saw about two people seated in the congregation. And the weight of anointing I could see upon their lives, massive. I wouldn't know the measure. But it was, compared to every other person seated, it was too much. So after I was done with the session, I took two sessions, one eschatology and one ecclesiology. And when I was done with the ecclesiology session, which is church, local church, leadership of the church, ministry gifts and all of that, when I was done, I called one of them. I said, sir, I just asked a few questions. I might not be able to say that on camera now. And he told me how much struggle he has with ministry presently. In fact, with teaching, preaching and teaching. I told him that should not be. Funny enough, I already had his teaching. So I just went ahead that Saul had the anointing. What Saul lacked was the willingness to follow the anointing. I'm saying that this morning to some of us here, it's not an anointing issue. Now, people see that here, you were made an healing minister. What do I mean? God literally, every believer can heal the sick. But there are folks who God has actually placed them to have a ministry that focuses on the healing of the sick. Say whatever you have. Oral Roberts was one. Amen. Kenneth Hagin was another. Even though his ministry was a bit more. You have unicorns like that. Amen. But Oral Roberts was an healing anointing walking on 2 feet. Rod Parsley was another. Apostle Babalola was another. Bishop Benson Daosa was another. That one has the raising of the dead to it. Amen. And there are folks here. By now you should have healed over 500. I mean, just by saying you are healed, people should be healed. Because it's not an anointing issue. It's an heart problem. Saul did not struggle with anointing. He was the only anointed one. God did not even think of David. Yet, he was rejected. Because willingness makes it acceptable, right? We saw that. If it's not a willing, noble heart, God is not interested. May you not be rejected of God. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 1, which was our other text. And so we have a duty to work on our own hearts. Sometimes you need to sit yourself down and ask yourself, why is it that the things of God don't excite me? What's up with my heart? I think the end sign and the hallmark of anyone who would do better in life, not just ministry, in every aspect of your life, is that you must learn to be retrospective. And you must also learn to be inquisitive about yourself. You must learn to sit yourself down often and ask, what's going on? Not like Saul, not pushing the blame on every other person that's around you. There are people who have mastered pushing blames. Any small thing. It's this person. It's that person. That's why Adam is a stupid and Eve. Very, very nonsense. Why have you done this? It's the woman you gave me. Shut up. Amen. Did you eat it or not? I just tasted it. It's the woman he gave me. The woman, oh yeah, you got, it's the serpent. And the serpent was looking back and said, who do I blame now? It's the devil. The devil entered me. And the devil said, it's not me, oh. It's God. If you not call, and God said, oh, it's me at the end of the day, yeah? Looking for how to push blame on everybody. Why did you not pass that exam? It's not because of my... Shut up. You failed the exam. You should be looking inwards. Why are you struggling in your marriage? Every day, fight. You can't be blaming your neighbors. You can't be blaming the church. Suddenly it's about, oh, midweek service. We don't have time to talk enough because of 2 hours midweek service. If they remove that midweek service from your life, you will fight more. They still making you say, we teach work in love, you remember. Is that nice? No fight. If they remove that one, say, we don't have enough time to communicate, that's why. It's a lie. If we remove that midweek service, Odaro, you can keep pushing blames on everybody. You must take responsibility. Don't be like, so. It's the people. They saved it. And you didn't tell them, kill it now. This must not follow us to Israel. You look at the sheep. You have even killed 3 in your head. You have fried it. It's already on your table. It's just that they've not executed it. I'm not stupid in Jesus' name. Isaiah 1. So you need to find out. Sit yourself and say, why is it that I'm doing most of the things out of compulsion? If you know me too well, I'm saying this so that you can learn from it. I'm working on myself too. You know, Jesus didn't say, he said the good soil. He didn't say it's a perfect heart. He says a good heart. He didn't say you're perfect. He says just a noble and a good heart. You know, the one has a perfect heart. Only Jesus. Amen. So it's not perfection. Mm-mm. It's the willingness to be noble. I said this about myself. The reason why, if you see me jump on any project or anything in my life, I don't do small. I don't do like this. I don't do like this. I go all the way. I don't do half-hearted commitments. My friends know I am their friend. And that's why they might not be many. If I'm your friend, you can go and sit down. And you can trust that any betrayal that comes to you did not come from me. I can tell you that. I learned that from Christ. Because I don't do my commitments half-hearted. If I call you my friend, and you my corner, heaven and earth knows, demons know, angels know, that I will not turn my back against you. And I say that not to brag. I'm saying because I don't do my relationships from a place of compulsion. You can't be my friend by accident. We will meet, we will talk, you will go, I will go. My core friendship is intentional. It's the same with my service to God. I don't do half things. You should work on that. Sit yourself down and ask, what am I doing for the Lord? And am I doing it out of a good heart? Because without a good heart, it won't bring forth fruits. Like Jesus said, the good soil will bring forth fruit in 100-fold, right? So why am I not fruitful? Question that needs to be asked. Is it that my heart is not good enough, noble enough, honest enough? When you sing to the Lord, are you worshiping Him? When you pray, are you praying to Him? You can't be praying out of compulsion. You can't be praying out of... You are just making noise. Like Pastor Chris Hackleman would say, you're making noise. I remember Pastor Sherry Bradley said some years ago, I don't know her. And she said, when you pray, there must be a following result every time. He said, it doesn't have to be immediate, but prayer must always yield something. Strength, perseverance, deliverance, it must yield something. He said, if it doesn't, you have not prayed. So how many times have we prayed and we have not prayed? Your heart is too vital. It's too important to what God can do. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. That means in the day of His power, one of the first things we are going to see is that God's people are willing. We saw it in Pentecost. 120 people. Mary Pentecostal. Amen. Mary herself there. So if you're praying to Holy Mary, you should be speaking in tongues. Mary spoke in tongues. Amen. 120 of them. The mother of the Lord, the brother of the Lord, all of them. Willing heart. Cloven tongues as of fire. They ate him. They saw him. They felt him. Why? Because they were willing. 500 people he appeared to. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he appeared to 500. How many people waited for the Holy Ghost? 120. Willingness separates the wheat from the chaff. Boys from men. Willingness. Boys from men. The ability to stay with what God has said. Isaiah 1, that's why I said you should go to play for my close space. Verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. Can we read verse 19 together, everybody? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat. Verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, sometimes we don't read verse 20. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. You know what I like about God? His word does not have a U-turn. Meaning, when he has said it, he has said it. He's God that can say, I said what I said. Amen. He's only God that can say that. Because he doesn't repent. He says, if you're willing and obedient, good things will happen to you. He didn't just say, if you're obedient. If you're willing and obedient. Because God does not just see the actions. He sees the intentions. Are you listening to me? He does not just see the actions. He sees the heart. He told Samuel when he went to the house of Jesse and he wanted to anoint a king. And Samuel saw Eliab and he said, perfecto. Golassimo. This is like Saul, exactly. I remember this guy reminds me of Saul. Saul charming. And this one is even better. It's from the house of Judah. It's not those Benjamin, they messed up. They had a chance. It's not from Judah. And he saw Eliab. And he was about to anoint Eliab. And God said, if you try it, if I see that oil on this one, it will fry him. It will not come to anointing, it will fry him up. And then I said, why now? So he went to the second one. And he said, now I see why it was not Eliab. God, hallowed be thy name. And he was about to anoint, because it's like this oil is just, it's doing you gri-gri from inside. Will you put that jar down? Somebody said, you must have a better choice. And he went from son 1 to son 6. Nothing. And somebody said, why am I here now? So, where is the king? Is he the father? And he asked Jesse, do you have any other, even if he's adopted, any person? At this point, I can anoint a cow. He just anointed anybody instead of Saul. Because the anointing must rest on someone in the land. And has left Saul because of his heart problem, right? Whether it's bradycardia or technology of Yalu. He had an heart problem. Amen. And Jason remembered, there's this boy, according to historians, David's mother was not Eliab's mother. So, David's mother got pregnant for Jesse, and you get what I'm saying? So, something more like a bastard-ish. Amen. Yeah. And that's why David will tell you, in sin my mother conceived me. That's not talking about you. You are abusing your mother. You can't be saying that about your own mother. In sin my mother conceived me. No, the circumstance of surrounding David's birth was a bit different. It wasn't from a legal marriage. Is it making sense? So it didn't surprise me when Solomon did what Solomon did. Sometimes you need to fight those things. You see the pattern in the family, you fight it. You fight it in prayer. Don't assume you're bigger than it. Amen. I just said that now. That's very important. You see a pattern. Don't assume. Don't be too pompous. Eli's children didn't serve the Lord. Samuel was there. He saw it. Guess whose children didn't serve the Lord to? Samuel. Samuel's children didn't serve the Lord. They disobeyed him. Sometimes when you see something, don't think you have overcome it. You have not. Until you sort it out. I will talk about that much more later. And so Jesus says, there's this boy in the bush.
He can't be him though, but let's call him. So he brought David. I saw where was David. Okay. We'll try. So he just took the oil. Reluctantly, let's just see. And I said, anoint him. For man looks at the outward, but God looks at what? Eh? The heart. He doesn't just see actions. He sees the intentions. He sees the thoughts. If you are willing and obedient. God didn't say, if you are obedient, just be obedient. Just do what I want you to do. You want to pray? You want to pray? I said you should pray. Pray. He said, it's not just pray. If you are willing to pray. It's not just, I have prayed. Mm-mm. Was I willing to pray the prayer that I prayed? Was I willing to serve the service I claim I have served? Was my heart in it? Saul could have killed the oxen and the sheep. Immediately Samuel spoke, and God blessed. He said, "That it's not about killing it. You have not killed self. If you are willing and obedient." He said, "You eat the fruit of the land." He said, "If you now refuse and rebel," I don't think those people are here. Amen. We are obedient people. And we are willing people. We are a willing church. Willing to see God's power work. Willing to see His healing anointing flow. We are willing. We are willing to serve. Willing to sing. Willing to raise our hands. Willing to shout hallelujah. Willing to joy. Willing to preach the gospel. Willing to pray. Willing to get the lost saved. Willing to get people to serve Jesus. Willing to get people to know Him more. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing to see His will done on the earth. We are willing people. We are willing people. It's God's house church, aka the willing church. Amen. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing to see His light shine. We are willing. We are willing to see the earth covered with the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. We are willing to see the knowledge of God spread across the world. We are willing to see His name on the lips of strangers. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing to sing His song. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing people. We are willing people. Our hearts are noble. Our hearts are noble. Our hearts are good hearts. Enabling environment to see God work in our lives, in our church, in our meetings, in ourselves. Willingness. Willingness is stop. Willingness is stop. Willingness is stop. Willingness is stop. We don't do things out of compulsion. We don't do things reluctantly. We are not like Saul. Our intentions are noble. From henceforth, we begin to serve with nobility, with a honest heart.